Good afternoon. Thanks, everybody, for coming. Today, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the distribution and formation of two calcareous soils on the southern high plains of Texas. A little background about the project. The NRCS was in the process of reviewing a bunch of pedons that had been mapped in the southern high plains in the previous years, and they noticed that the Estacado soil series, which is classified as an aridic paleostals, about 40% of them describe a calcic horizon shallower than 60 centimeters, which places it into the calcitic subgroup rather than aridic. So there's a new soil series that's being proposed, and that's the Bovina series. This is a picture of the Estacado soil that's mapped in Palmer County, Texas. The blue line represents the top of the calcic horizon. You see it's at about 80 centimeters. This soil is also mapped as Estacado, but this would fit the concept for the Bovina soil if it gets approved. And the blue line is at about 40 centimeters. Calcic is much shallower. Now, this is important because there's about 230,000 hectares of Estacado mapped on the southern high plains, which is about 5% of the entire land area. And of this, about 92,000 acres are mapped aridic that actually fall into the calcitic subgroup. And this is important because if the Bovina series is approved, it would be considered highly erodible land, which would place it first in line for government conservation programs such as CRP and EQIP. And it would also place the Estacado series, it would be prime farmland under irrigation. Some objectives was to determine if a new soil series needs to be established first, and based upon our lab data, possibly change the concept of the current Estacado. And we also wanted to learn a little bit about the distribution and landscape relationships among these soils to help predict where they might be found and hopefully aid the NRCS in mapping these soils. With our lab data, we wanted to establish some variability in range and characteristics, as well as learn something about the formation and lithology of these soils. Our approach: these are sample sites across the southern high plains. We sampled in three counties, one Estacado, one Bovina in each of the counties. Our methods of analysis: we did some geostatistical analysis, some physical analysis by primarily particle size on a carbonate-free basis, and we looked at some of the mineralogy and micromorphology by thin section. We also did a lot of chemical analysis, but those will not be discussed here in this presentation. The variability among these soils is great. The calcic horizon is probably one of the most variable diagnostic features on the southern high plains, and this is probably due to different degrees of erosion and deposition. This is a soils map of Palmer County. These linear features here are draws or ancient waterways, and all these circles that dot the landscape are playas or small depressional areas. And everything that's in color, in the green, the blue, and a little bit of yellow, is all Estacado. And as you can see, that they are found primarily in relationship to the draws and the playas. This is just a digital elevation model to give you an idea of what the landscape actually looks like. Here again, you can see the draw and the playas that dot the area. So we wanted to try to build a model to try to model where the calcic horizon was and how deep it was, and hopefully be able to correlate that with the landscape or some kind of landscape feature. So we went into the National Soils Information System, or NASIS, and we pulled 615 data points from field descriptions and put them into ArcGIS and creased the data to try to interpolate a surface to see if we could find any relationship between the calcic horizon depth and the landscape features. However, it didn't seem to work out too well. Down here, our data points were a lot thicker down here, I guess you could say, and there it does show maybe some relation down here where you have more data points, but it didn't end up working out too well due to a less than ideal distribution of our data points. I'm going to talk a little bit about the factors of soil formation. The climate, These soils show evidence of formation in a climate similar to that of today. The southern high plains of Texas is in a semi-arid to subhumid region with cool, moist periods as well as warm, dry periods. The organisms, these soils are mollisols, so the vegetation is a very important factor in soil formation. The vegetation was mixed short grass, prairie, and desert shrubs during extended dry periods. However, you won't see that today because the majority of the land is cultivated. And this vegetation, the short grass prairie in particular, resulted in soil darkening by the addition of organic matter. The relief, there's not much relief on the southern high plains. It is nearly level to gently sloping, and the general slope is to the southeast. There are dunes associated with playas where you'll find these calcareous soils, as well as on playa side slopes and the uplands along the draws. This is a picture of one of our sample sites. This is an upland. This is a dune near a large saline playa. The large saline playa is back here. You cannot see it. This is a playa edge. This green area down here is the playa basin. And this is a back slope near a draw. This is the draw back here. This is our biggest landscape feature that we had in our entire sampling area. The parent material is all aeolian, but there does show to be some lacustrine and alluvial influence along the draws and ancient channels. The time these soils are formed in the Blackwater Draw formation of late to middle Pleistocene, and based upon fossil records, they are around 30,000 to 50,000 years of age. Next, we look at some physical characteristics. We did particle size analysis by pipette on a carbonate-free basis, and then looked at the sand-silt ratios. And something that we noticed, every horizon or every soil that we sampled showed this decreasing trend from the surface down to about 90 to 100 centimeters. And that was the Bovina. This is the Estacado showing the same trend down to about 100 centimeters. And we believe this could be partially due to the initiation of cultivation. We also looked at clay mineralogy. This is, we just did qualitative mineralogy to see what minerals were present. We had smectite, mica, kaolinite, quartz, and some feldspars. This is magnesium saturated at ambient temperature. And this is the Bovina. And this is an Estacado, the same mineralogy. We also looked at micromorphology by thin section to try to determine the presence of argillic horizons. And this is an Estacado BTK horizon. I don't know if you can see this red arrow, but it's pointing to a thin grain argilland with disseminated carbonate in the matrix. And this is quartz here in the fine to very fine sand fraction. This is a Bovina BTK, and this shows a disrupted channel argilland that is likely disrupted by the wetting and drying cycles, and as well as secondary carbonate accumulation. This is the same horizon that shows a weakly developed grain argilland here around the quartz particle. And same horizon again that shows no evidence of any kind of oriented clay, but it's just a really carbonate-rich area in this particular horizon. Our conclusions, based upon our lab data, the 5 of the 6 pedon samples actually did not classify correctly, and the major differences were the particle size control family was either fine or fine silty in some of the soils, and all of them but one were active versus superactive. However, the subgroups did classify correctly for these soils. The soils that were supposed to classify aridic were in fact aridic, and the soils that were supposed to be calcitic were, in fact, calcitic. Other conclusions, soils formed as a result of more than one deposition. They formed in a variety of parent materials across the landscape. However, you rarely see them in the upland position. And the argillic horizon is present. However, it's not always intact. I'd like to thank Dr. Wayne Hudnall, B.L. Allen, Kevin Mulligan, Jim Rogers, our pedology group, and the USDA NRCS Soil Survey Team, MLRA 77.
Okay, we have 5 minutes for questions then? Does anybody have any questions for Charlie? No questions? Okay.
I have a broad question. It doesn't relate to your data. What's the origin of all those files? Your opinion.
The origin of all the files. I'm not sure that. Dr. Hudnall, you want to help me on this one?
You said that sometimes the argillic horizons are disrupted. Could you expand on that a little bit more?
Yes, like the picture of the BTK horizon that showed the channel argillan, the wetting and drying disrupts the initial appearance, I guess, of the clay film, as well as the secondary carbonate accumulation and calcite crystallization pushes apart the argillic horizon. I think it's there, it's just not always visible.
So in other words, you still meet the clay increase requirements, but you may or may not see the Q-tans.
Right, they may not be as visible.
The clay may have been destroyed. Other questions from the group?
You do get a clay mold then?
Yes.
I've got a question. I saw on your graph there was a distinct difference between the upper and the lower parts of the soil. Mm-hmm. Did you recognize that as a discontinuity? And if you did, what did you call the two parent materials?
Yes, we did recognize them as a lithologic discontinuity. Down there where it got really red, I'm assuming. Yes, and both the parent materials were both Aeolian, just of a different time period.
So I noticed that the lower material was very uniform on its ratio of, was that sand to silt ratio, and you hypothesized that cultivation had, I guess, increased the proportion of sand relative to silt.
In the surface down to about 100 centimeters in all the soils that we sampled, and after 100 centimeters, there was really no good pattern that we could see between the soils.
Could some of that increase in sand have occurred from different wind energies over a longer period of time? In other words, I'm just thinking to myself that 100 centimeters of effect is quite a lot for a soil that's only been plowed for 100 years or so. I'm just curious, could it have been a change in climate and deposition?
Yes, not sure why it seems to stop at 100 centimeters, why the sand to silt ratio decreases to 100 centimeters, but part of our thinking was upon plowing and wind blowing that some of the clay and the silt has been removed.
So this has been a cumulative process over a long period of time?
Yes.
We have time for one more question? If not, let's get Charlie a big hand.